Welcome to Pure Connect Podcast with Dr. Geshom Sikala, a celebrity mentor and prince. He is a businessman, humanitarian, author, speaker, television host, media personality, pastor to the stars, and global goodwill ambassador. Here, Dr. Geshom will help you understand true success and prosperity, maximize your true potential, experience God's presence, deepen your relationship with God, and learn to walk with God. Now, here is Dr. Geshom.
Some kids want to hear by sketching. You need to demonstrate. Especially if the kids are genuine. The genius kids, they understand nothing. Because they overthink everything and you think they are dumb. No, they are smart. You just have to find the way to teach them. Then you realize they're very smart. That's why you find that the most smartest people, they failed at university and the world has written them off. But actually, they end up creating the best thing in life because they were not really not smart. They were smart, but they were just overthinking. Needed a skillful teacher to discover them. Never call anybody dumb. Never call anybody not smart. God has created everyone with a perfect mind. It's the same way God speaks to me personally. I can hear God right now. Some people can't hear God. They need to go and sleep first. You understand what I'm saying? Some people just hear God by a scripture, a verse. Some people will hear God in different ways. Why does God speak in different ways? Because he knows your personality. Me. I'm a very nice guy. God speaks to me very nice. But I know friends that God speaks to them very sharp. I'll kill you if you don't listen. Because he knows the type of the character. If God speaks nice, they're not going to listen. Me, I'll listen. If you want to be my enemy, be rough with me. I'm going to run away from you because I'm gentle. I'm like a dove. So God speaks to me gentle. I know some friends who are prophecies. We've got to do this, otherwise God will punish you today. And sure, he'll punish them. Because God works with them that way. He knows if they're not going to punish them, he's not going to listen a second time. But he knows others, he will never punish them. He'll just love them. Now you think, God, why did you punish him and not punish him? Because God, a mother, treats his kids according to how he sees. A spank to someone is not going to work. For the other one, it's going to work. Some kids, the more you spank them, that's the way they want to be spanked. So it's a different character. You have to study them. But I'm just giving you an example. God will speak to you. For me, he speaks to me in a gentle way. Only a couple times when I was in danger in Central Coast, Santa Maria, the fire of God came visible. Visible. I mean, the fire of God's spirit came, materialized. God materialized himself, called Jehovah Shekinah glory. It's called Shekinah. When God began, what is invisible becomes visible. And people were able to see the fire. Soon when we have the screen, we can show you that. The fire of God came upon 1,200 or more people that I was preaching to. Physical fire, shoot up. In the midst of that, I heard the Holy Spirit, land, while I'm preaching it, I'm hearing the Holy Ghost, land. And what did I do? I dropped them. I always have good Jeff. We have a Jeff, the sound man, but also I used to have another Jeff, the sound man, from Santa Maria. So his name was Jeff, too. So I picked the mic like that. I dropped it on the ground. And I didn't know what to do. And I just lifted my hand, and the Holy Ghost came upon each one of them. All of them were slain on the ground. And I told my armor bearer, I said, the Holy Ghost said, run. I need to go now. I said, well, I need to get the car. I said, I need, no, there's nothing. Go now and get the car ready. So he went. He took his big truck. Then I went and I ran into it. And we were driving. I said, drive faster and faster. This is a true story, by the way. Drive faster and faster. He said, where are we going? So I don't know. Many Sabbaths. So we stopped at Starbucks. I got some Starbucks, he got some Starbucks. Then he said, what happened to those people? I said, I don't know. The Holy Spirit said that. Do you know what happened? There was like 20 cops, police officers that surrounded that place. Because the neighbors, they had called that there is fire there, 911. So there was a fire department trucks that came. Can you imagine if they all grandly start calling, there is fire in that church, they start calling the neighbors this way, the neighbors this way. So they had all kinds of fire department coming in and cops. Me, I didn't even know what was going on. I was relaxing very well, having my chai. Then afterward, I went to sleep. Then my host, his name is Pete Mulanda. I need to invite Pete here to come and testify. You say the story better than me, because he was the one in trouble. They said, who is in charge here? He says, well, the preacher is in charge here, but he's not around. He says, who else is in charge? Whose property is this? Pete said, this is my property. Because just to go back, we were meeting in the place of 80 people, 100 people. It got filled because we did not have a fire license to occupy more than 200, 300 people. So the pastor, that church now is called the Equippers, Shouts of Grace pastor, wonderful friend of mine. There's a church in Central Coast called the Equippers. You can look it up online. It's a bigger church now. It grew because of our meetings. I found it very small. It used to be called Shouts of Grace. Now it's called the Equippers. So the pastor was just following the law. Said we had meetings for 3 days. We would advertise 7 days of meetings. That's what I used to do. I would go in the area. I will be there for 7 days. Sometimes 14 days. Every day. We had different choirs, different musicians. It was just powerful. We did that. We did that in San Francisco. We did that in Southern Central Coast. We did it in Santa Barbara. We did in Bakersfield. All over places. So while we were there, back to the Starbucks, then I went to bed. Then in the morning, I went to Pete's house. I said, Pete, I want to see you. He says, yeah, I wanted to talk to you. I'm just from the police right now. We had no permit. There were more people there. They said they did not charge us for anything for the fire because they couldn't find the evidence of the fire. But they want to charge us for disturbing the neighborhood because we use people's spots to park, you know, those parking. Then I said, God will handle that. He said, you'll be dismissed, you know. And he said, should we cancel the meeting? I said, no way. God said we should do it. So we still did the meeting, but this time we rented the golf course. You know, those golf cars? So people would park a little bit farther than people would bring. We had volunteers who drive people to the place. Now he told me the full story. He says, you'll be shocked. Almost 8 to 10 cops, they got saved that day. They were weeping. I said, that's the power of God. Then they said, you were a genius. How did you disappear? How did you know? I said, God told me to learn. And God trusted you to handle it on my behalf. He said, and I did. And he was willing to pay all the fees. He said, if they charge us, don't worry, I'll take care of all the fees. But nothing was charged. That's the real power of God, right? You talk about the fire of God showing up. You're forgetting about the consequences. Sorry about that. I just need to drink some water. Anyway, I share that story in a new dimension. You know, a lot of people have been wanting to make a movie about it a couple of times. Maybe we will someday. We need to interview some of those people before they die. I pray they live longer so we can interview all those people that experience the glory of God. In the same time, there was a dead man that was raised from the dead. This is a true story. I'm telling you people, when God's power, when the book of Acts comes to pass, it's amazing. Anyway, I'm just saying that God is so real, but that fire went like a wildfire. The cops were a blessing. The fire department was a blessing because people started talking. And guess what? We started having buses. Churches were coming from different places with buses bringing the people to say, let's go and see. It's like, come and see what the Lord is doing. But there was another problem. Some churches started becoming empty because everybody was coming to a church. It's not our church, we're coming to our meetings. Then I got in trouble with pastors. They said, you got all our 500 members, they're all coming to you. I said, I don't know who they are. So, can you imagine that move of God stopped because of denominational problem? Instead of them just joining in what God was doing, they did not care about people getting healed, getting saved. That's how sick the church is. And I got sick of it. I said, I don't want to do these things anymore. I disappeared for a little bit. Because I wasn't collecting any money, by the way. There was no offering correction. I was just praying for the glory of God to come. Hundreds of people were getting set free. We had people who are mentally retarded. Mentally retarded. They bring them to the meeting. They get free by the power of God, and they go back well, and they come back well cleaned up. He says, I was nobody now. There was that type of power. But the church stopped it. The only thing that I thank God about the Central Coast California Central, that is Santa Maria area, I want to be specific so that some of you can do a research. I asked the people there. Almost every church knew us. Santa Maria, Nipomo, all those places. The only good thing that started happening is, how can we manage this young man? The pastors came up with pastor's fellowship. They made that pastor's fellowship to try and stop me. And I attended one of them. Praise God. They said, oh yeah, we started because of you. Pastor's fellowship. I said, that's good. Finally, we can all come together. And it still continues today for our pastor's fellowship. They started it so they can control me. They thought I was uncontrollable. I was nicest to everyone. I had a coffee with every single one of them. All I did, I said, God, I need your glory. When I called on God, God came down. In that church, there was ask you. No fire. People, the fire and glory was one of the things that I pioneered. I had a group of 75 people called the Glory Carriers. They called themselves the Glory Carriers. We went in every place in California. We turned the stones upside down. My team, 75 to 100 people, who'd go ahead of where I'm preaching, brought the chauffeurs around. Some were so crazy, they would do flagging. Some of them would do all kinds of things. I'm telling you, we finish all the food in tacos. Tacos. Because they used to eat tacos. We didn't know those taco restaurants. We filled it up when we're in the area. Tacos are packed. This is a true story, by the way. I want you to be encouraged. The Glory Carriers were led by my dearest good friend, who I call Papa John Hedden. John Hedden, a Jewish guy who sees angels every day. This guy sees angels every day. When he saw me, he scared me. I wanted to know if he was from God or not. So I said, God, this man is weird. I don't want to be around a weird guy. Then I said, Lord, prove it. And the power of God came upon him. And the power of God touched everyone. I have it on video, that one. Then I said, okay. Then he said, we have been sent by God. Hallelujah. We are your team. I said, oh, really? And they traveled with me for 4 years, everywhere. I'm telling you, something started happening. There were people that quit their jobs just to travel with me. This is a true story. And there was one man, he used his finances to sponsor, buy food for people. Because some people were just coming and they were hungry and starving. They didn't know where to stay. You know, we had a movement that took place. The power of God, everywhere we went, there was glory and power. We filled up the places everywhere. But pastors stopped the move of God in the name of offering. And I told them, I don't need your donations. But if you donate, God will bless you. And I will use it for his glory. But I didn't come for that. I came that you receive the power of God. I'm saying, what kind of a man is? I was hungry more than all of them to see the power of God. But churches stopped it because they wanted to control. Even when I gave each one of them the opportunity to speak, it still didn't work. Everybody wanted to have its own books. The state of America, the state of the church today, is because we have selfish men taking these platforms. Not for God, but for their own benefits. And that's why the church has lost the power. But I'm here to prophesy. God is giving back the power to you. And to you who are listening. That God is going to do something so powerful. That would be mind-shocking. And you know, in the book of Habakkuk, it says, when the glory of God comes, silver and gold will be poured to you. Whenever there's a move of God is a movement of money. Remember this. Wherever there is a movement of God in your personal life, there will always be silver and gold. The problem is that you want silver and gold first. No, you need the movement of God first, then silver and gold will follow. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, that their house shall be filled with God's glory. Then men and women from different nations will bring gold and silver. And the gold and silver shall fill the house. Whatever we sow, the move of God, we also sow the move of finances. And you need the anointing of Matthew chapter 6. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things shall follow. God is not in competition of you being successful. You are his image. Say, I am in God's image. When you are successful, God is pleased. When you are prosperous, God is pleased. The only person who benefits on poverty is the devil. God does not profit on your poverty. The only person that profits that is the devil. People sell their bodies, sell their lights just to make money. Against their own decision. That's poverty. But when you have finances, you have your own independence to choose what to do. And that's why God wants to put a lot of money in your pocket. A lot of money in your bank. A lot of pastors' kids do not want to be pastors or be Christians because they have watched their parents eating crumbs. One of these days, I'll bring my friend Keith Addison, and his wife. They are the parents of Katy Perry. Katy Perry did not want to save God because he saw his family struggling. They were on Social Security. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's a good way to wait for God's presence, but don't stay there. If you're in Social Security, make it temporal, but don't make it permanent. It's just a temporal relief so that you can figure out the great blessings to come. Amen. Amen. So, Katy Perry decided not to follow God because of that. Hopefully she comes back. Because people would blame Keith, sweet man, and his wife. They're good friends of mine. They'll say, why is not your daughter being a Christian? He's a big star. But herself, the reason why I'm able to say that, otherwise I'll never do that, because Keith is a good friend of mine. The reason I'm able to say that, because I saw the interview of Katy Perry herself talking about our parents and the background. Why she did not like the church. But we are the new generation that our children and our children's children, they will desire to serve God. Look at the father of faith, Abraham. Isaac wanted to be like his father. Jacob wanted to be like his father. The grandchildren, Joseph wanted to be like his grandfather. And the great grandchildren, Benjamin wanted to be like his great father. What's wrong with the new Christianity?
Dr. Genshom, we'll continue with that word in a moment. Kindly note that you can continue to discover God's powerful truth and much more in Dr. Genshom's other resources, which include his new books, Delete the Offense and Healing Your Own Soul, a book that will bring wholeness to your being. You can get these copies on Amazon or go to www.geshomsikala.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Genshom as he continues with today's word.
Pastor's kids, they don't want to be like their father. But the Old Testament, the prophet's kids, they want to be prophets like their father. What was the difference? Abraham was wealthy and righteous. Wealthy and righteous. Not wealthy and wicked. No, wealthy and righteous. They said, I want to be like my father. That's why he was the father of faith. I want to be like my daddy, Abraham. God is raising up you to be anointed, to cast out the devil, to heal the sick, also to have wisdom to manage wealth. The anointing to manage your marriage. The anointing to manage your business. The anointing to manage. God is releasing a new power that your children want to be like you. I want to save the God of my father. I want to save the God of my mother. I was in the gym one day, and there came this girl around me. I don't always say I'm a pastor. I don't use those titles. I always just say, okay, I'm Dr. Genshom. What do you do? I'm an author. You can look at the book called Breakthrough Thinking. What else do you do? I'm a mentor. It's true, I mentor a lot of people. Then she looked me up and she said, I'm a Pentecostal preacher's kid. I don't want to be associated with this. Seriously? Then I said, you're supposed to be excited. I said, I'm a son of the politician. I'm excited about God. He says, because my father, I don't believe in what my father talks. I think my father is in the cult or some kind. This is like a real thing. The church is not even far away from here. See that church? I don't believe in it. And she's the firstborn daughter preaching to me how much she doesn't want to be part of the father's church. Imagine I wasn't a believer. Then I said, dear lady, I'll tell you about my life. I was 9 years and a half. I knew nothing about God. Jesus appeared to me in the room. He healed me from my sore throat. And I was curious why he healed me. And then I gave my life to him. Because I did not ask him to heal me, but he healed me. I did not ask him to come to me, but he came to me. I said, why does he care so much? What is it that he has to do with this African kid? Why does he love him so much? Why does he love me so much? And I said, Lord, I'll serve you. Since then, I've been serving him. See, that's a cool story. Then I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I've been a Christian all my life. I said, you have been religious all your life. You have not met this Jesus. I was coming from a family where my dad was in charge of the whole entire community. People were depending on us for food, for employment, for everything. Those were, we had more workers working for us. And yet I said, God. He says, really? Then I told her, I said, I'm not saying go back to church. I'm just saying go and read your Bible and cry out to God. You need to receive God. Then there was another group of people. They received Jesus because they were afraid to go to hell. He says, why do you serve God? No, I don't want to go to hell. Then I said, you have to receive him because you love him. I called an altar call to rededicate because you want to. You love him. There was an old man who has been in church for 50 years. He got freedom. He has been afraid to go to hell all his life. That's Christianity of fear. I said, God called you to be his beloved son. He loves you. Receive him as the love of your life. as Lord. I want you to receive him because you love him. And he did receive him and he felt so much freedom. Do not be afraid. His spirit will help you. Then he was so happy. And there's some Christians who are really strange intercessors. Come on, relax. It's okay. It's fine to do that. I've realized that people's personalities are different. You can do that. But a new Christian like Zadek sees that he wants to do the same thing. How is Zadek to be able to play football and be able to have a casual conversation and people see his character? They feel the spirit, they feel the anointing, and everybody say, I want to be like Zadek. Isaac is busy at school. Said, I want to be like Isaac. Naturally, by supernatural. I'm not saying you cannot shake. The power of God shake. They shook me many times. Believe me. But I'm just saying that the presence of God is personal. Some people scream, don't judge the screamers. Some people will be quiet, don't judge the quiet. Some people will begin to dance. I've seen all kinds of people. God works all in all things. What I'm saying is, we need a new fire today in this new month. God wants you to make you the center of attraction. That people, the most evangelized, unreached people group are church people that were raised in the church. And it is the devil's game. But I pray that you be a new believer. Say, I want to be a new believer. That will hear God and walk with God. And people say, I want to serve God. I was at high school. One day, I decided to say, I'm going to quit Christianity. Seriously. That's how raw I am. Because, you know, I went to 3 schools. I got transferred from one school to another school. I was tired from moving from one school. Because one school, I started the meeting. And people were getting healed. Blind people started seeing. All those blind kids were able to see. And they brought more people. So I was having 300, 500 people. And all of them, they became Christian. I could be the only few living today who is able to make schools, non-Christian schools, Christian. So I got moved from one school to another school. The last one, when I was in the 10th grade, I said, I'm going to quit this Christianity. It's giving me a lot of trouble. So I announced to my friends. I was thinking it's a cool thing. Said, I have an announcement, because I'm an honest guy. I'm quitting Christianity. Then they walked a Jehovah's Witness to me, started to weep. I was just about to join you. You're such a nice guy. And this other girl walked to me. He said, I just love the sweetness. There were 5, 6 people who were sad that I'm quitting Christianity, who are not even Christian. Then I said, there must be something good they've seen. I'm not quitting. So God used the non-Christian to encourage me. But guess who were discouraging me? They were these sort of Pentecostal people speaking in strange languages and tongues. They were jealousy because I was filling up the places. They were just talking too much. Then I said, I'm tired of too much. I want to be a normal child. But you know, when God has called you for greatness, it's no normality. Normal greatness is normal. Greatness is what? Normal. When you're called great, acknowledge the greatness. Then the non-Christians, they told me, we want to join you, we want to be a Christian. And I said, wow. Then one day I said, I'm not going to, no more will I think what these Pentecostals, charismatic, whatever who they are, think. I'm going to serve God as an independent free will. I will not go with man's opinion. I'll go with God's opinion. And that's how I overcame. Today, there's nobody who can change my mind not to serve God. Because it's a personal decision. It's not a religious decision. Some of you have made religious decision for a long time. You have to make a right decision. All right, I don't know how long I've talked, but I want you to come back next week, but I should be. I pray that you're encouraged, but I'm just fired up, people, because I saw the power of God this morning, and I want you to experience the same. So, this Thursday I'll be teaching again on angels. I'm really excited. I discovered cool things this morning. As I was in San Francisco at the hotel, in the morning I was praying. I had so much angelic revelations about angels. I almost taught on angels today. Then I said, I need to teach on something. This is for Thursday. So I'm going to teach on angels this Thursday. Make sure you invite your friends.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to support the ministry and stay up to date with new episodes.